Book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Book of Genesis, chapter number 1. We know that this is our creation chapter, and we're interested tonight in verses 9 through 13, studying these verses. You'll find out this is the evening and the morning of the third day. So I'll ask you to stand with us. We'll read in verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. You might say that's resurrection, right? The dry land appeared. It came out up out of the water. Amen. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Father, we thank you for allowing us to read this portion of your word. We pray, God, you'd add your blessings unto it. I pray, God, now tonight that you would enable us to preach, equip us from heaven. I pray, God, you'd answer from glory tonight with power and demonstration of the Spirit. We ask that you would touch us tonight and teach us new things. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We see on this third day the dry land appears, and we see that God's calling the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters, he's calling it sea. And then he said, let the earth bring forth grass and have, you know, a seed that yields fruit, and fruit tree that has seed that yields fruit, and so on and so forth, even down to the herbs. And over in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, we want to try to continue on reading just a few more verses in Exodus chapter number 12. That's that great Passover chapter, Exodus chapter 12. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse number 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse number 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Now this morning the Lord had us preach about the door, being the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be honest with you, that message he gave me last night up until about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning this morning. The message he gave me for tonight, he gave me a long time ago, and it's about hyssop. That's amazing how God works. He gave me this message about hyssop. And this morning he had me preach about the door. And we realized that the hyssop, they dipped in the blood. And they took the hyssop and put it on the two side posts or the door posts, and then over the lintel of the door. And he said, when I see that, I will pass over you. I'll even pass over the door. Yeah. Ain't that good? Amen. The door is the Passover. What about that? That's a blessing, ain't it? I'm interested in hyssop tonight, in it being a plant. I've got a little picture here I tried to blow up. I know you can't see it, but it grows in a lot of different gardens. There's 33 different types of hyssop. It's somewhere between 1 and 2 feet high, and it's used to sprinkle the blood. It's also used to clean sacred places. In fact, in the old times, they called hyssop the faith plant, and the botanists have read some information about it, and it is an evergreen. It's a bushy herb, and even its stalks were in the old days used for brooms and used for even brushes, you know, used for cleaning. Amen. Something about the blood, amen, will clean us up real good. Amen. And hyssop is even cultivated for the top of its the flower tops, and they say that it has medicinal properties. It is a herb. And it is true that you can even use it as an expectorant, meaning you can treat it for coughs. Many of you had coughs, and you put this in some other liquids, it would help you remedy a cough, they tell me. And we read in Genesis chapter 1, and on the third day, God had created all these herb-yielding, all these different herbs like the hyssop, and yielding seed, and was going to bear fruit after its kind. And on the third day of creation, God looked down and saw afar off and knew that one day this very hyssop plant would be used to be put in the blood of that spotless lamb, amen, and put it on the doorpost that the children of Israel might have a Passover. Yeah. I'm interested tonight in this hyssop, in the selection of the lamb. Again, let's look at the lamb. The Bible says that lamb was to be without blemish, a male of the first year. Certainly, Jesus, that lamb, and all little lambs point us to Jesus because he's the only unspotted lamb there'll ever be.
Amen.
Amen. And then they're to take that lamb and separate it. It said you should take it out from the sheep or from the goats and keep it to the 14th day. So they've selected on the 10th day, keep it to the 14th day. About 3.5 days, it's to be inspected to make sure it has no disease. Now Jesus, the Lamb of God, had a ministry not 3.5 days, but 3.5 years. He was inspected in front of the entire world. And even Pilate himself said, I find no fault with this man.
Amen.
And then they would take this little lamb and put their hands around its neck and cut its throat and shed its blood and take that blood and put it there in a basin. And then they would take the body of the lamb and to cook it, and then they were to eat its body, and they were to go in the strength of that meat. Now I can just see the basin that they may have had that they put all this lamb's blood in. Every house had to select a lamb. Amen. A lamb became the lamb, became your lamb. Amen. And there was the blood, and they were to take this hyssop plant, cut off the plant itself. Have I got this thing not on? Is that my problem? They were to take this hyssop plant and to dip it down there in the blood and strike it and put it up on the doorposts of the house. And when they did that, amen, they were acting in obedience to the word of God. And when they were obedient, then that night the death angel passed over them and they were spared that night. The teaching there is obedience. You see, the blood must be applied. He even said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He wasn't looking to see what family you're part of. Wasn't looking to see how much money you've got in your bank account. He was not trying to figure out where you attended church or where you worked or where you went to school. The only thing he was looking for was where the blood had been applied. And the hyssop plant was used in the application of the blood. He even told them again, in verse 22, you shall take a bunch of hyssop. That is interesting to me tonight, that the hyssop plant was used in the application
of the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts. Now, as we begin to study this about the hyssop plant, we see there that the application, but I see over here in Psalm 51 another application. In Psalm 51, we not only see the hyssop with the lamb, but we see the hyssop with the leper. In Psalm 51, David had committed that awful sin, acted in adultery there and taken Bathsheba and even tried to cover it up and went out and had her husband murdered. And he said in Psalm 51, verse number 7, he said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Now I say a leper, you say, well, David's not a leper. But according to the scripture, leprosy is representative or a typology of sin. Okay? David, he knows the law and he knows the law very well. He says, "My sin that's upon me is spiritually to me a leprosy, just like there's a physical leprosy. It's separated between myself and God. We have no fellowship." And he, knowing the law, begin to think about the ceremonial cleansing of the leper. I want to study that for just a minute. Back here in Leviticus, we're coming back to Psalm 51. Don't lose that place. But in Leviticus chapter number 14, and now I know a lot of you will groan and say, "Oh, I don't like the book of Leviticus. It's a confusing book and it's a difficult book. It's about the law and all these laws are done away with and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ." But there's something in Leviticus 14 as I read it, it just leapt off the page to me and it blessed me. Leviticus chapter 14, verse number 2, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing." In other words, once the leper is to be pronounced clean, okay, once he's been made whole. Now it is possible that the leper can be cleansed. God can do all things, amen. He said, "In the day of his cleansing he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop." Do you see that? Leviticus 14, verse number 4. "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field." Let's put it together. He's to get two birds. Here's a leper that's been cleansed, and he comes to be pronounced clean. And according to the law, the priest is to take two birds. And he takes the one bird and he kills him in the earthen vessel. That right there, in an earthen vessel. Hey, that, you know what, tonight we are an earthen vessel, amen. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, you and I died to sin, amen. When Jesus saved us, we died outright in an old earthen vessel, amen. There's death. Then he's to take a living bird, and he takes that living bird, and he holds it in his hand, and he takes the blood of the bird that died in the earthen vessel, and he takes that hyssop, and he gets the blood on that hyssop, and now again, with running water going over the top of him, he dips that hyssop in that basin there and he sprinkles on that bird a number of times and he lets the bird go. He just lets the bird go. Preacher, what's that mean? You realize that bird is still alive. There's death, burial, and resurrection right there in the leper's cleansing. Now, I want you to think for just a minute. David, knowing the law, he says, "Purge me with hyssop." In other words, I want to be cleansed from the guilt of sin that hangs over my head. Have you ever committed a sin before God? and it broke your heart. I'm telling you what, it tore you up, what you did. And you came back to Him with all this guilt on you and asked Him to forgive you. Go back to Psalm 51. Let's think for just a minute. The blood has got to be applied. Now watch here. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. An interesting phrase, David. He speaks about the hyssop. He makes an interesting phrase. Going back to that ceremonial cleansing, watch this. He said, if you'll wash me, I want to be whiter than snow. Now, he didn't say, I want you to whitewash me. He didn't say, I want you to get a paintbrush, and I want you to make me look like one of the most pristine and clean people in all of Spruce Pine. That's what we like to do. We like to dress up sin and make ourselves look good so nobody will think there's nothing wrong with us, when inside we are in gross, gross sin. He says, Lord, I want you to wash me. I don't want you to whitewash me. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, He said, you're a bunch of whited sepulchers. In other words, inside you're full of dead men's bones. You look good on the outside, but inside you're rotten to the core. I don't be known like that to you. I want to be alive and doing something for Jesus. So my life count for something. And old David says, listen, if I'm going to get right with you, God, I want to get right with you, and I want you to make me whiter than snow. Now understand, listen. Isaiah 1:18 says this. He said, Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, it shall be white as snow. He says, white as snow. David said, Lord, I want you to purge me with hyssop. I want you to wash me, that I'll be whiter than snow. In other words, I want to come clean with you all the way. So many people want to come clean with God, but only part of the way. David says, I want to get right with you all the way. Now, the devil's got a counterfeit to white as snow. Are you listening? In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse number 6, God said to Moses, said, Moses, I want you to deliver my people. Moses said, no, I'm not able. I'm not able. God said, I want you to take your hand and put it in your bosom. And I want you to take it back out. And when he did, the Bible says his hand was as leprous as snow. Put it back in again, and it became clean flesh again. Miriam, God struck her with leprosy, and the Bible says that her leprosy was as white as snow. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 27, Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, when he went out and he cheated and he's greedy and all things he did, God struck him with leprosy, didn't he? And the Bible says that Gehazi's leprosy made him as white as snow. You see, the devil's got a counterfeit. The Word of God says when you get cleansed from your sin, the blood will wash you white as snow. The devil says, well, leprosy's white as snow. David said, Lord, I don't want no counterfeit. I don't want to just be white as snow. I want to be whiter than snow. I want you to take the hyssop out, Lord. I want you to put it there in the basin. And I want you to take it and wash me clean, that I might not just be white as snow, but I want to be whiter than snow. I want to be the old leper that got cleansed. And I want to live to tell that our God still forgives sins. Y'all, I want to tell you something right now. You may look at David and what he's done and judge it. It's a terrible thing. But stealing a pencil at Walmart's no different. Cheating on your time card at work is no different in the eyes of God. Gossiping about your neighbor is no different in the eyes of God. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And when we sin, He looks at us as a leper. And you and I must say, oh God, I've sinned again and broken fellowship with you. Purge me with hyssop. Get out, heaven's bunch of hyssop, and take the blood, amen, and wash me clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you what, amen, He'll wash us as white as snow. Cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. Got studying a lot about hyssop, these 33 kinds of hyssop. The dictionary had a definition about hyssop. The encyclopedia had a reference about hyssop. But everything I read, nothing did me as much good about hyssop as the Word of God. You see, the Word of God has life. So I want us to see hyssop and life. We've seen hyssop in the lamb, hyssop in the leper. I want us to see hyssop and life. Over here in 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. David has a son. His name is Solomon. Verse 29 of 1 Kings chapter 4 says that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart even as the sand that is on the seashore. God bless Solomon. Probably the wisest outside of Jesus Christ that ever walked the earth. You know what? God would give us wisdom too if we'd ask for it. Okay, read on. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Verse 31, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrathite, and Heman and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol. You know what? I'm telling you what. Those fellas were really smart. Y'all all heard of them, how smart they was. But Solomon was wiser. And his fame was in all nations round about. Scripture says he spake 3,000 proverbs. That means you and I speak. We might quote from him every now and then, but we've spoke probably none on our own. In fact, his songs were 1,005. He spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. He spake a lot of great things. The wisest man outside of Jesus Christ that ever walked on this earth. Something grabbed me there about hyssop. The Bible says that he spoke about the hyssop that what? That was springing out of the wall. That got my attention a few weeks ago. And I logged on the internet and I went out and started looking at the Wailing Wall. They have a camera there. You can get a live feed on it and watch them come there and pray. They come and they'll stand and pray and they may take a prayer request and slip it between them big old limestone rocks. In fact, they say one of the rocks on the foundation, they said it is so heavy that no crane upon the face of this earth today could possibly lift that bottom rock. And how it got in place is an engineering marvel. But God equipped them to do so when that wall went up. And they put prayer requests in the cracks of that wall. And then they'll even others will come pray. And there's prayer going on all the time. Well, I logged on and I was watching that. People coming and going. And I looked there. And on that wall, to the left-hand side of where this feller was standing, was this bunch of something. Right up over his head was hyssop, growing right out of that wall. Now that might not mean a whole lot to you, but all the hyssop plants that I pulled up was big and fluffy, kind of like this thing is right here. And how that thing got big like that, growing out of a half inch or less gap in that wall, I'll never know. I mean, it don't have much of a root system. How in the world it blooms and gets pretty and gets as big as it does. You know, in Palestine, it's 14, 20 inches tall or so. How it gets that big growing out of that, I'll never know. And then it came to me, Solomon spoke about how that happened. I wonder if he said, yep, it gets his nourishment from the rock. You and I are supposed to get our nourishment from the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. He's our rock of strength, amen. And you and I may feel like, boy, we just don't fit in here. We don't really have much of a place, but I want to tell you what, you better bloom where God puts you. He puts you in a little old crack in the wall about this big. You'll bloom for the glory of God and be used for Jesus' name, amen. And I want to tell you what, there's life in that rock. Life in that welling wall. Hyssop growing there. Isn't it amazing? That's maybe some of the very same hyssop there in the land of Palestine, similar to what had been used there to take the blood and put it upon the walls of the doorposts, upon the side posts, and upon the lintel, that they might be set free. Boy, that's amazing to me how God's using a little thing like hyssop, kind of vine-like, but how He blesses. So I see life in the hyssop, don't you? You and I have life in the rock. You'll grow nowhere else but in the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And last of all, there is hyssop in a lesson. John chapter number 19. It's not the last time the word hyssop occurs in the Word of God, but it's the last time the hyssop is actually used in the Word of God, and it is important. So we see with the lamb, the hyssop was used in obedience. And we see with the leper, the hyssop was used for cleansing. Amen. And we see on that rock, the hyssop is used there to grow in Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see in John chapter number 19. Jesus has been beaten, bludgeoned. He's been nailed to a cross. As he hangs there, he makes seven statements. One of which is found in verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. No doubt, dehydrated. No doubt that every time he blinked his eyes, it was like rubbing sandpaper right over that open eye. Every time he tried to swallow, it was like granite probably going down the back of his throat. And he said with a parched tongue, he that said, I'm the well of living water, springing up into everlasting life. He that caused the dry land to appear, and he that parted those waters and called them seas, there he hangs, dying for you and for me because of our sin. And he says, I thirst. I always like to think about it like this. I saw a dog today that's laying in the highway that got hit. It bothered me. I didn't hit it. Somebody else did, and it bothered me. And some of you young ladies in this church had seen a dog get run over, and it crawled as best it could to the side of the road, and its little tongue was hanging out. You'd run to find a Tupperware dish, or even better, put a little water in it, and run it back to the side of the road, that in its death that little dog might be comforted. But as our Savior was dying, he used that same words, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They wouldn't even give him water. They gave him vinegar. And they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it up on a hyssop, the stalk there that they used for brushes and brooms. They took the hyssop stalk and they maybe run it through that sponge and they put it up there to his mouth. When the water of life was thirsty, they gave him nasty old vinegar to partake of from a hyssop stick. And the Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. That's the word tetelestai in the Greek. Not another thing I need to do. Your redemption has been accomplished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He said the shepherd this morning would lay down in the doorway there so that the sheep would stay in and no enemy could get a hold of them. He was willing to lay down his life on the cross that you and I might be saved. Praise God for that. Romans 8:32 says that God, he didn't even spare his own son. I get to thinking about how that when they put Daniel in the lion's den and those lions roared against him, God spared him. When that wicked city Nineveh wouldn't get right with God, God said to Jonah, you go out on a missionary journey for me and you preach to them. He said, I don't like them, I hate them. And I don't want to see them getting right with God. I ain't going to preach to them. I can't stand them people. And he went the wrong way. And God put a whale in the water there and swallowed old Jonah up and give him a personal tour right over there to the very seashore of Nineveh and spit him out. And up out of there he comes smelling like vomit. And he headed down there stinking and smelling. And he got up there in front of Nineveh and he said, God said if you don't get right and repent, he's going to crumble this whole city. And from the smallest to the greatest. They ran. Got on their face before God and repented. God spared a whole city called Nineveh in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham prayed, said, God said, I'm gonna destroy those wicked cities. And he said, God, if there were 50 righteous, would you destroy them? No. I'd spare the whole two cities for 50 people. Well, God, what if there's 45 and not 50? Would you spare it for 45? I'd spare them for 45. What about 40, 40, 30, 30, 20, 20, 10? I'll spare two cities for 10 people. But he wouldn't spare his own son. When Jesus died, the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 20, verse number 17. Let's read verse 15. You know, there's Mary, and she sees him, and he says to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is the same master. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not." Now I can show you other places in the gospel where they held him by his feet. Well, preacher, what's the difference? Oh, there's a big difference. In this portion of the gospel, he said, "For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." What do you mean, preacher? He's up from the grave, victorious over death. Mary sees him. "Sir, where hast thou laid him?" He says, "Mary." She says, "Master." She heads towards him, begins to fall on her knees maybe, and he said, "Don't touch me, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father." What does that mean, preacher? He's got the blood. His own blood. Not just the blood of any lamb. The holy, glorified blood of the spotless Son of God. He said, "Don't touch me. I'm on my way to the Father. My Father. Your Father." When he gets there, he comes before the throne of the Most High God. There's a place there that's calling for justice. Justice, God said, "I want justice. I am a holy God, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and die forever." I'd sinned. I was on my way to a devil's hell. Here come Jesus up from the grave. He sees the Father, and he said, "Father, this is my blood." He begins to sprinkle it. Seven times, glory to God, on the mercy seat which is in heaven. Preacher, there ain't no mercy seat in heaven. I beg to differ. When he told Moses to build a mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant, he said, "I want you to build it like the one that's in glory." And he gave him the dimensions of what to build. Amen. And I want to tell you what, Jesus took his own blood and sprinkled it and put it on the mercy seat there afresh. And when he did that, our redemption, glory to God, was completed and accomplished. And now when we come before him with sin in our lives, where we've messed up, we confess up and he'll forgive us of our sins, because the Father looks and sees the blood that's on the mercy seat. Well, glory to God, anyhow. So, friend, I'm going to tell you tonight. Preacher, did he use a hyssop plant when he got to heaven? I don't know. Somehow I think maybe he took his own finger for a personal touch. With his own fingers where he sprinkled the blood. I like that personal touch. Well, preacher, then that hyssop you keep talking about, you keep talking about hyssop? Because that hyssop is a type of the grace of God. Amen. It's been in the blood.
Amen.
And falls down on you. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." We said to start with at the hyssop plant, not only does it represent grace, but it's also representing something that's a type of cleansing in a sacred place. It is known as the faith plant. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. That's the hyssop. It gets hold of the blood and washes our sins away. Amen. You stand to your feet tonight, please. You still got your Bible in your hand? One more scripture. The book of Titus. I won't read this for the devil's sake. Book of Titus, chapter 1, verse number 2. Preacher, that sounds like some wild concoction. Let me tell you what, after Jesus put his blood on the mercy seat, then he came back and he was upon this earth for 40 days. Before from the Mount of Olives, he was ascended back to sit on the throne of a Most High God. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. I want to say to you that that hyssop also represents hope. What, preacher? I have hope tonight. Not a maybe so, but it's your sure thing as an anchor of my soul. My anchor's in that mercy seat. My anchor's in that blood of Jesus. He says in Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Go all the way back there to the third day when God had herb yielding seed fall there. He knew one day the hyssop plant would grow. The blood would go to the doorposts. He knew his son would go to a cross. He knew tonight you'd be standing here where you are. None of these things has happened by accident. In fact, God knew it before the third day. The Bible says he promised before the world began us eternal life if we'd but come to him. I like that tonight. When the devil says, I don't believe. Don't believe that wild story the preacher's trying to tell you while he's a nut, he's crazy. Hey, Titus 1:2 says, God, which cannot lie, has promised us. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory to God for that. Lord, tonight we thank you for the promise of a Most High and a Holy God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, that unspotted lamb, Father, that shed his blood that we might be saved. God, the hyssop of grace, the hyssop of faith, the hyssop, Father, that's come down. God, has been a hope to us, God, been applied to our lives, Lord, that we were going to see you one day in glory. We thank you for saving us. And God, if there's one here tonight, God, they've backslid on you. Maybe they've got sin in their life that needs to be confessed this evening. God, I pray you'd take them to a place, Lord, by conviction and tell them, I'll purge you with hyssop, and I'll wash you, and yes, I can make you as white as snow. Lord, I pray our heart's desire was we'd be even whiter than snow. Come clean with God all the way and have holy living in our lives. Lord, I want you to know tonight that hyssop on the wailing wall that I saw, it spoke volumes to me. And I thank you, God, for the hyssop plant which was planned out before the world began and a promise that you've made to us. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.